Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 39, episode 2 of
The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. For July 10th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka urine is sterile because sterile means containing no living substances. Urine is not non-toxic, which would mean it can't be harmful to life. That is courtesy of at DracusDS123.
Those are facts.
Those are facts. That is not an AKA, but I thought it was a good fact. So, giving it to you guys up top. I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles wants something else. I'm not listening when you gray. Good. I had to go back in the archives for that Chapman Rice, a.k.a. Chapman, I hope you're listening. I hope you're well.
I hope you're okay, Chapman.
But we are starving for AKAs. I know Jack and I were talking. We're like, man, the AKAs have been late.
This is what I'm getting. I'm getting corrections, and that was one of the corrections that I really enjoyed. So, hey, shout out to you guys. You do what you want to do. We are thrilled to have in our third seat, you know her from Bajillion Dollar Properties, Nobodies. She's been hilarious on CBB, Spontanea Nation, just this past weekend on Love It or Leave It. And she is now the new co-host of Yo, Is This Racist?
That's right.
She is Tawny Newsom.
That is me. That is she.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
What's up? I'm good, you guys.
We are so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. I'm excited to be here. Huge fan, love your stuff.
Hey.
Does everybody just shout that immediately? Yeah. Huge fan, love it.
No one's ever said that, even in a sarcastic way like you have.
I didn't mean to be sarcastic. I was just like, what do you say when you're on a podcast?
Because you were doing that real Hollywood style, like, yeah, love it.
Love your stuff.
Yeah,
sick,
love it.
Sick tent you guys are putting out.
You guys really have a handle on content?
We slang tent. That's what we do.
Like REI. Tent.
Yes.
But yeah, I listened to Love It or Leave It Monday morning, came in, and cool. I was like, hey, we should have Tawny Newsom on. And super producer Anna Hosnier was like, you idiot. She's on tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that means two people in this room wanted me here.
Mind meld.
What's your deal with
me? Once you started co-hosting Yo's This Racist, I was like, I'm intimidated. You know, like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
that
of energy
is...
coming in here. Because
yeah,
you know,
it's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm also very threatened by women in general.
Sure, so, sure.
That's sort of my general stance if you listen to the show.
Yeah.
No, I saw it from the beginning. But, you know, sometimes we don't see who the guests are until the 0 hour.
Isn't that better? I kind of like a little surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look a few weeks ahead, and I'm like, oh, cool. But then you begin remembering on that day, like, oh shit, okay,
yes,
Tawny, yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad I forced all of you into giving me a compliment.
Hey. No, not at all.
No, we are.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here, and we like to get to know our guests a little better with some questions. But first, we like to take our listeners through what they are in store for. We're going to be talking about the kids and the coach being out of the cave. We're going to talk about who Trump is pardoning these days. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court justice who got the rose last night, if you know what I'm saying.
Can you hear his dad face? Dad joke face?
Am I?
You hearing that?
That is all over the media, though. They're like, and Trump's rose goes to. Anyways, we're going to talk about that shit. We're going to talk about how well ICE and CBP are treating pregnant women in their care. We're going to talk about the GOP's weird relationships being constantly full of molestery wrestling coaches and just where that might be coming from and just their all-around relationship with problematic men. We're going to talk about Justin Bieber being engaged. With Scooter Braun is on one right now. He saw how Ariana Grande got that pop off of her engagement, and now Justin Bieber's engaged. We are going to talk about Ty Cobb out here in D.C. living his best life. And finally, we're going to do a little movie beat, which is a new section I just made up. but first, we like to get to know our guest a little better. Tawny, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay, I did research. Well, there's two. You can pick which one you want.
Okay.
My most recent one was a gynecologist here in LA because I don't have one.
And was it like a Yelp review? You were like,
no, my friend told me a woman's name, and so then I like looked her up. That's just like a boring life one. And then the other fun one was, I looked up the Ventana Wilderness. I looked up the trail map in Big Sur. That's all the like hiking trails in Big Sur to see what's open and like what you can access. Because I was planning a trip that I have already gone on, and we did not go there because there were too many closures.
Right, because didn't like the rains kind of fuck stuff up, like from a few.
Yeah.
Like the year before last, right?
Yeah, last winter's rainstorms closed the one in both directions.
Right.
So the only way you could get to Big Sur, and I know because I did this last summer and it was borderline terrifying, was to drive through the Nacimiento Ferguson Road, which was like across the Fort Liggett Army base that I didn't know existed. And then suddenly I was driving past like enormous helicopters and people with guns. I was
that
like,
sounds awesome.
Why are we? Yeah, maybe it's awesome if I'd been like prepared for it. Yeah. But instead, I was like trying to go
be like,
on my.
Oh, shit, it's one of those militias.
Right? It straight up looked like a militia. And I was just trying to be on my little white woman camping
right,
you know?
You are an outdoorsy type, as we learned on Love It or Leave It.
I am.
And you are from Northern California originally?
Yeah, as a child, I was there. And then as an adult, I was in Chicago for a lot longer. So I'm a split personality in that way.
But you are new to Southern California.
Yeah, two and a half years.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
What is something you think is overrated?
Athleisure apparel.
Oh, wow.
I'm wearing it today as an experiment
because
I hate it and I don't like wearing it. I don't like it out in the world. I wish people wore, I wear a lot of like trousers, like an old lady. I like button down things, and even
nice
when
pair
it's hot,
of slacks.
I like a slack.
Yeah,
I like a slack, and I like fashion forward. You know, so the West Coast, everybody's just in a sweat pant.
Yes.
And so I'm feeling
all
the time.
Yes.
Perma sweat.
Yes. Yeah.
And I get that, like, there's a lot of exercising that happens, but then some of these people are just in a place.
Here. Yes.
They're just out here in these sweats, and I'm like, I don't want to know what your home life is like when I look at you. I want to know why you're here.
Yeah.
Right.
In this.
Yeah.
In this, you know, workplace.
The activewear fad is interesting, especially when you see people, you're like, you are in a full, like, outfit.
Right.
And you are nowhere near a gym.
Nowhere near.
And you're just trying to buy, I don't know, like a newspaper or Starbucks.
Made up. Your hair
fully
is
made up.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
your
or
hair
dudes
is...
with their hair like just maniacally,
like,
meticulously
up,
coiffed.
But
yeah.
They're in their workout gear. That is something. So is that specific to LA? Because I've lived here for the past seven.
It's way more prevalent here.
Yeah, but activewear is a wave that people have been
it's
catching.
A wave. But you go back to Chicago, which I do like 4 or 5 times a year, and it's like suddenly all that's gone. And I'm like, oh, here, these are fabrics.
Right.
Yeah, right.
No, that's
these are
what
normal
clothes
fabrics.
Look like.
Yeah. Not everything is fleece lined.
This is Lycrex.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Okay.
It's sweat wicking.
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I know like the sweatpant thing I get because LA is sort of like this who gives a fuck kind of attitude of like just sort of like looking slovenly.
Yeah.
That's one look. But in terms of like the full on like I'm out here about to, like I look like I'm about to coach a spin class or something. That's like this whole lifestyle thing where like people just sort of try and appear very healthy, like
appear active.
It's like yes, I will hold this green juice and I will wear this activewear.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, from that you can extrapolate that I'm a healthy person, and that's all I'm doing.
Hey, I just live an active lifestyle.
Yeah, it's like no, you don't.
I also get enough dudes asking me if I play basketball, so I feel like when I dress like this, I invite that way more.
And oh,
I
really?
Don't.
Dudes
oh,
like apropos nothing?
Basketball?
Oh, constantly. Because I'm tall and I'm black. People, dudes are always just like, you play ball? You play basketball? Yo, girl, you hoop? You play ball?
Yeah.
How tall
like,
are you?
No, 5'10".
Okay.
And then if I'm wearing shoes or something, that's like strange men's number one question is do you play basketball?
A weird passive aggressive way of asking, why are you so tall?
Right?
Right.
You play basketball?
You shouldn't be allowed to be that tall.
Mm. And if you did, you should be playing basketball because a normal woman shouldn't be that tall.
Sit down, lady. Yeah.
On the one hand, I do welcome the athleisure thing because it like people are getting to wear more comfortable clothing and that's good for them. But it does like give you less like when you're seeing somebody for the first time, you just get it's almost like when I first moved out here, everybody drove Priuses. That was like the only car that anybody had. And it was just it was kind of confusing. I feel like these waves just like envelope
I mean,
Los
people
Angeles.
Still drive.
Right.
Priuses,
but it was like
the
only thing. Like it was at least in like Santa Monica. That was like
yeah,
the
well,
only
the west
thing
side
you saw.
Was,
And I feel like athleisures are the new Prius. They're the Prius for your body.
I like this. Yeah. It's a Prius for your body.
Yeah. Exactly.
It also doesn't make me feel super present. It makes me far too comfortable when I meet strangers.
Right.
I'm in these sweatpants and I feel like you're all my family, and that's wrong of me. I should be treating you like strangers.
Yeah. Don't make any assumptions about me.
I just, I don't know. I like the dress down version. I mean, not to like go OD with the activewear shit, but in general, like, you know, I'm wearing sweat shorts right now. It's hot.
Yeah, it is hot.
But part of me, I think that's also my vibe. I feel like I'm stuck. I still dress how, like, what the cool version of me in college thought of how I would dress.
Sure. Right.
Like, yo, you're taking basketball shorts and hoodies to the next level, man.
That's how I'm still, you told me that from like what, age 16 to like 30, you never wore anything. Wore long pants.
Didn't really wear pants. Wow. I wore basketball shorts. Pretty much, I was like living that like fake baller, like baller's lifestyle.
Sure.
Just came from practice.
Yeah, and also growing up in the Valley, it's hot as shit. And as a kid, you just don't want to wear pants when it's hot. So it just became like a thing where I was like, I like it. But then as I got older, I was like, you know, I fuck with pant legs now.
I think I grew up in an equally hot place in Vacaville. And I think my grandma was just like punishing me because I got in trouble for wearing jeans to church once. And it changed my whole life.
Wow.
I was like, got it. Dress like you mean it.
Yeah, but, dress you have respect for the Lord.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think a good airport. People don't talk enough about a good-ass airport.
Hell yeah.
People love to complain about an airport. People love to talk shit about, like, oh, delays and blah, blah, blah. But a good airport, I'm talking Chicago O'Hare. I'm talking Incheon in South Korea. I'm talking Osaka in Japan. These are good. There's a whole mall in some of them.
Hold on. O'Hare?
It's a
you
great
mean from
airport.
The design?
O'Hare in there.
No, the facilities.
The facilities. Okay.
Did it just get made over?
I don't know. There's stuff in it. There's always been stuff in it.
Yeah. Okay. I always have nightmare layovers at O'Hare.
Sure.
I can't argue with the facilities. The structure of it.
Right.
I can't take that away from
it. I'm almost not even talking, like, the service you get, like, if you get stuck there or whatever, that's on the airline. I'm not out here standing for any airlines.
Yeah.
Let it be known.
Right. Even though you have a Spirit Airlines hoodie on.
Shut up, man. I got this.
Spirit
this
Airlines activewear outfit.
This was shot out of a cannon at me.
On the flight. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Vancouver airport?
No.
Up in British Columbia? No. Woo!
That's a good one? Okay, I'll add that to my list.
My people, Zyte Gang, know in British Columbia, I fucks with the Vancouver airport.
They have good stores in there and stuff?
They have good stores. They have like a good like respect of the culture of British Columbia, like incorporated in it. It moves very smoothly. The facilities themselves, like it moves smoothly. I just love it. And also, shout out to Burbank for just being efficient.
Shout out to Burbank for being like, basically, it's like you're not even, it's like you're going to a bus
station. It's a bus stop. Yeah, you're right.
And I like to walk out onto the tarmac. I like seeing the hills around. That feels very cool to me.
But it's very, I think it's abnormal that America's two biggest cities, Los Angeles and New York, just have shit like main airports.
Yeah.
Like JFK, LaGuardia are both like hit or miss. It depends totally on what,
like terminal.
I feel like the international terminal in LA is the only thing we give a shit about here because we're trying to tell people from other countries we have it together.
Right.
Yeah. Ta-da.
Right.
Oh, don't go to Terminal 3 though.
No, don't go over there. Don't go with those Southwest plebeians.
Yeah. Right. And finally, we like to ask our guests, what is a myth? What's something that you know to be false that most people think is true?
Something I know to be false that most people think is true is that, I guess, just about like black people's hair. I feel like they think it can do like one thing. They're like, that's the girl with the afro, or like that's that's the lady who has dreadlocks or whatever. And I think they don't understand the intense witchcraft and sorcery that goes into our different styles. And especially when I see, like, just watching a television show last night, and they went to change some woman's hair. I'm trying not to leave out details because I'm trying to get a job in this town. But they just did it in such a, like, white people wrote this, and I was like, oh, you fundamentally don't understand that our hair can go from looking like a sponge, very close curls to the tight to your head, to when it's straightened out, like cascading down your back, and that doesn't mean you're wearing a weave. Like, it is the same hair. It's that elastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out here to tell the people that our hair.
Learn yourself.
Yes, learn yourself.
Can do anything you put your mind to.
It can do anything.
Right.
Well,
your hair is very cool.
Oh, Jack, so thank you.
That is,
this was not me fishing.
Are you still going to get dreadlocks?
You know,
ever since you saw Black Panther, you're like, I want the Killmonger.
You want some
just the tight little,
the Killmonger
the
look.
The Killmonger.
Like iffy.
Yeah, just over to the side. No,
I think
that
them.
Should be punishable.
Just prepare yourself for somebody on Twitter to hit us with the Photoshopped version of Jack with Killmonger braids.
Oh,
look,
boy.
You've been looking for that for a long time, so I'm glad you put it out there.
Yeah.
But then when you have like a beef with Pusha T, he's going to put that out. Yeah. Like, look at this motherfucker in blackface, you know?
Exactly. All right, guys, let's get into the stories.
Hold on, we should have beef with Pusha T.
We should.
Just for the freestyle.
Well, we already have a beef that we're starting today, or a challenge that we're we're putting down.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that in a minute.
Cool.
Oh, shit.
First off, the happy story that has been sustaining people's souls for the past, you know, or at least the one that we were rooting for to end happily, has ended happily. Those Thai kids and their coach are out. Let the production on the Clint Eastwood movie begin.
Mm-hmm.
That joke is courtesy of super producer Sophie Lichterman.
About how an American man did it all by himself.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
he invented scuba diving.
Yeah. The Rock will somehow just go in there and save them, even though he couldn't fit through that tunnel. One thing, we were talking about how awful it's going to be for the coach when he does make it out because he got those kids stuck. And Thai towns are totally rallying around him. His hometown is like talking about how, you know, he had a really hard life and he's actually a great guy and all he cares about is these kids. And I think this misunderstanding may actually be based on the fact that we're telling the story in English, and English is actually structured in a way that it encourages you to lay blame even when somebody hasn't like done something on purpose. So I think maybe like they've found in studies that when you tell a story in Spanish or Japanese where somebody like accidentally breaks a vase or something, it's just like the vase.
Oh yeah. You never say that
itself.
Someone broke it. Yeah.
You say the vase broke itself.
Yeah. Quarita, is the word you'd use.
Whereas
you
in English, we're like, Craig broke the vase, if he didn't do it on purpose.
Let's fuck Craig up.
Right. So a bunch of our listeners, a bunch of the Zeitgang came at us and was like, actually, you guys are too cynical and the Thai people are here for this guy and he's going to be okay. He was the last one out. And apparently in the early days of them being stranded in there, he was only giving the kids his food, which is the right thing to do. But still, he did do the right thing. So.
I'm glad they're out.
Yeah, I'm glad they're out too.
But my take remains that the mother who told the one child to not go.
Right, because there is a child, a team member, the one team member who did not go.
Hit the concerned mother lottery with that one. Mm-hmm. It was like, and I was right.
Yeah,
right.
But now that poor kid's not going to be able to do anything.
That's what I was saying, yeah. So let's shift the focus back on that poor young man.
Right.
Yes.
And
he's
the coach,
locked
look,
down.
Yeah, don't mean to, you know, we're having jokes on this show. Mm-hmm. So we're not here to come for the coach. But yes, that's when I read his story, I was like, oh, yes, he had a tough life. He was like orphaned, basically, when his parents died. Well, anyway, at least the kids are out.
Yeah,
and
the kids are out.
Yay.
The kids are all
happy
right.
Happy ending.
I saw on Twitter that it seemed like Elon Musk was trying to jump in the mix
and
build a space pod.
Like, yo, too late, my guy.
Yeah. People were pointing out also that like it was after four of the kids had already been taken out and they were like, and we're taking the next four out tomorrow.
Right.
That he was like, I built a submarine.
Yeah.
Look at me over here. I built a submarine. Here it is in a pool.
Didn't someone have a tweet like that? They're like, Elon Musk talking about the thing he built, like as most of the kids are out, is like the most Elon Musk thing ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else, I was just looking for it so I could credit this person, but I can't find you. I'm sorry, person. You're smarter than me. A comedian said, hey, I guarantee you Flint hasn't been figured out yet, Elon.
Right.
So, like, no one's going to beat you to that.
Hey, my man, can you figure out that?
Uh-huh.
Man.
How is he going to fix Flint with submarines?
Also, I thought he was
going to
fix fucking Puerto Rico, too. Whatever that shit.
Yeah.
Your plate is full, Elon, for you to be showing up late to shit that's already been figured out.
Exactly.
Right.
Now focus on the real shit.
Yeah. Thank you for your help.
Puerto Rico still has no power, and have you seen the water still coming out of those fucking fire hydrants in Flint?
And the president, Donald Trump, has pardoned the Hammonds, who were the people who started a bunch of wildfires in order to protest like grazing laws, which was the whole sort of right wing versus the government beef that kicked off the Bundy standoff.
Right.
Ended in people being killed and, you know, people shooting at the police. So, you know, Trump has told us what side he comes down on.
Well, it's just good, you know, you get more culture war pardons
right.
to get the base riled up for the midterms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good to send the message that, like, fire is chill.
Fire's chill.
Fire's pretty chill.
Fire's hot, but also chill.
There's still, like, 90,000 acres burning in Northern California right now,
right.
I believe. But these guys who set a fire on purpose because they were mad about grazing laws on federal lands, those dudes should definitely not be in prison.
Yeah, they're basically like if David Koresh was less Jesus-y and more about racism.
Yeah, and had bigger guns.
Right. And Trump was just like, no, you're good.
Sometimes I have to, I think, like, what is something that would make me set a fire? Because right. I'm mad about a lot, but to get me to the point of arson, what would that have to be?
You got to be, well, you also have to have, you know, yeah, that has to be in your heart, you know?
Arson has to already be with me.
Yeah. Burning in your heart, within your heart.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And the winner is Brett Kavanaugh.
Boo.
So I think he was considered maybe the most, quote, moderate of the options. Trump
because he wasn't like out there with full-throated being like, I'm all about bringing Christ back.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, or Amy Barrett, who was like, not just life begins at conception, like life begins on Bumble. Like right. she believes that the potential for sex is already a child.
Right. There's a politician, Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, who came out and said that he was against any of the four people being considered. And he made some good cases. Basically, his argument was that, you know, he came up with this list of 25 nominees, and it was dictated to him by the Heritage Foundation, which is this far right-wing, Koch brothers-funded sort of...
Think tank,
yeah, that is, you know, doing the bidding of corporate interests. And the Supreme Court has already made decisions that are pro-corporations and, you know, make it easier for corporations to squash unions. And so, I don't know, this makes... a ton of sense when you realize it's being filled with candidates who are approved by far-right think tanks who are funded by wealthy corporate interests. You know, I've heard somebody say that the Supreme Court's stance on a lot of policies recently is going from, like, undemocratic to anti-democratic, basically, when you look at how they are deciding when it comes to things like gerrymandering and, you know, the
voter purging,
Muslim
ban,
the role of wealthy people and wealthy private interests when it comes to funding these candidates. So that was him coming out in advance of the decision and just saying, you know, this is whoever it is, we lose. And I think this is worth pointing out because they're one of the big talking points that the right has come out with is that, you know, protesters were like out ready for Trump's announcement and they had these signs that had blanks for the name of the justice. And then they like filled it in when he announced it was Kavanaugh and they were like, ah, it's like Mad Libs. They were just mad about fill in the blank here.
Mad Libs. Too.
Right.
Mm.
And
sick burn.
I think the point is that they all fit into this category of sort of right-wing corporate interest funded Supreme Court justice.
Because there's another iteration of that where your sign could have just said all four names.
Right.
And then you just circle the one, fuck them all.
Scratch the other ones off.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's not like we're just mad at anyone. Like, we're specifically mad about these four people.
Right.
So any choice is bad.
Yeah, right. That is a solidly conservative vote on the Supreme Court. So that's 5-4.
I read that pushes Roberts to like the swing,
right.
the party boy. It puts him in the party boy seat, which I don't trust that shit at all.
I like that so much better than the deciding vote is
the
party boy seat.
Who's the party boy seat?
I like party boy seat.
J-Rob? All right. Yeah, I mean, he has had quite a storied career. I mean, he's been everywhere. He's like the Mr. Beltway when it comes to the judicial system, from working with Ken Starr to, you know, I think, who is it, Paul Begala said when he did the constitutional drive-by on the Bush v. Gore case.
Right.
He also seems to think that Trump is an idiot, allegedly. I don't know. Like, he gave that commencement speech, didn't he, at, where was it, UCLA? He gave a commencement speech or graduation speech. Is there a difference between those things? I don't know.
Yeah.
He gave a speech that was kind of like talking trash about Trump's social media presence without calling him out. But it seemed to be like he was talking about having class and dignity and whatnot.
Right.
He's pro-dignity and pro-class?
I think so. Aren't all these guys? Even though civility, right?
Yeah. When he came up, he's like, I love everything. He's like, clearly you respect the judiciary, Mr. President. You're like, really? The guy who's constantly attacking it? But anyway.
Right.
Now he's got his guy who thinks presidential power is absolute. Well, in some cases. Now, I think... you know, Nick Stumpf and I, super producer, were going back and forth this morning about, you know, he was sort of like, look, everything's not going to change all of a sudden overnight. And typically the way the Supreme Court moves is like it takes time and they don't typically reverse decisions that easily, which, yes, I agree with certain aspects of that. My biggest concern with him, despite how, you know, he's shown himself to sometimes side with the EPA, most of the time not side with the EPA, are that his voting records kind of show that if it comes to labor disputes, he mm-hmm. typically sides with the employer. Like, for example, when that orca killed the trainer at SeaWorld in 2010, Tillicum, OSHA like hit SeaWorld with a bunch of fines and they appealed it and it got to the U.S. Court of Appeals in the D.C. Circuit where he sits with Merrick Garland.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
he said that they should execute the whale for doing it, not that it wasn't SeaWorld's fault. Right?
Well, he basically, no. I mean, because the whole point was that OSHA was saying like, yo, you ignored the sort of danger that the orca was presenting and, you know, you sort of were negligent in keeping the right. trainer safe. Now, obviously, people know they're getting in a tank with a killer whale is not like being a florist. So they know what the risks are. But the point was that they were not fully looking out for the safety as much as they could. Mm-hmm. And so his dissenting opinion read, the Department of Labor, and this is a quote, cannot reasonably distinguish close contact with whales at SeaWorld from tackling in the NFL or speeding in NASCAR. The department's sole justification for the distinction is that SeaWorld could modify its shows to eliminate close contact with whales without going out of business, but so too the NFL could ban tackling or punt returns or blocks below the waist, and likewise NASCAR could impose a speed limit during its races, but the department has not claimed that it can regulate those activities, so that is not the responsible way to distinguish sports from SeaWorld. Now, right.
Completely blameless things like NFL tackling
right.
and, you know, brain
yeah,
damage.
That's already, a terrible thing. But I think, you know, he's very, you know, as he said, I will strictly, interpret the Constitution faithfully or whatever, which is just basically saying, like, look, if you put an argument in front of me legally that is vague enough that I can, you know, not see the racial animus in something, mm-hmm. then I'll vote in your favor. Like when he upheld like voter ID laws in South Carolina, where they presented him, look, they're asking to put voter, like they want to make the law so you can only show up to vote with this specific DMV issued ID. Now, statistically, that would disproportionately affect Black voters in that state. And that's what the argument was, like, yo, this, you're using this law to really disenfranchise this group. And Brett Kavanaugh was like, yeah, I don't see the
racial motivation.
It's like,
I'm colorblind, you guys. I don't see color.
Yeah, right.
That must be nice. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you see struggle, my man? You know what I mean?
No, just struggle.
Do you hear color?
Mm-mm, nothing.
Hey, what does this sound like to
How
you?
How about now?
Nope, still nothing, guys.
How about now,
sorry.
Bitch?
Sorry, it must just
oh my
be
God.
My complete.
Yeah, I think, again, it's regardless of, you know, there are many issues that having this sort of split in the Supreme Court is going to affect, from labor laws to LGBTQ rights. There are many different things. And yes, I don't see it being cataclysmic change overnight, but they will chip away slowly but surely, and we will be left with a very difficult situation.
Well, all it takes is someone to bring a case. And like you're saying, for him to overlook the racial implications is massively dangerous because, you know, he says, or Trump said that he is someone who will uphold the Constitution, you know, and it's like, that wasn't written for us. That wasn't written for all of us. So if you're just upholding it and not allowing for any modern day lens or any modern day, you know, a diversified intersectional look at what these laws have, what their implications are on actual people living now.
Right.
That is dangerous.
Yeah. He wouldn't have been on those lists if, you know, and he wouldn't have made it into his final four picks if he wasn't.
If he was an
going
actual
to,
open-minded
right,
judge.
Like,
who,
that is specifically an organization that is designed to find people who will help them, you know, move the country in a conservative
direction. And the Koch brothers, mind you, had a full court press on how to dismantle just the government in any possible way, whether it's them trying to figure out how to trigger a constitutional convention or whatever. They have a full, like, the full plan to do it every which way possible. And now the court is reliably conservative. I mean, we'll see. I think in some cases there could be cases that some of these justices may show. I mean, you know, I don't know. All I know is it's 5-4 now.
Right.
And that's really the one way to look at this.
Now, I mean, from a strategic perspective, Mitch McConnell had specifically called Kavanaugh out of the four candidates as being – the one who is going to cause the biggest fight because he, like you said, he has all of this history of being involved. He worked within the George W. Bush White House for a couple of years. So technically, we have access to all every email he sent and received during that time.
Yeah. Like literally millions of records.
That all sits up at the George W. Bush Library. And, you know, for the past two Supreme Court judicial nominees, the media has, you know, gone and gotten those emails. And, you know, I've heard people specifically say, you know, there are so many of them that we need to open it up to the public so they can pore over them. And I think that's only fair because no single journalist is going to be able to look through a million emails.
Well, but I think Reddit can.
Right, yeah, exactly. These, this is exactly what Reddit is designed for.
Reddit, you've been waiting. You've been waiting to be activated.
Go.
But yeah, he just has more receipts that you can pull, and that's why Mitch McConnell is a little bit worried about his candidacy and was saying, you know, the worst case scenario for us, for, you know, the Republicans and conservatives, is that this fight gets delayed until after the election, then the Democrats win.
I think, or August, maybe, is really, like, I feel like that's the most delaying right now, is the after the August recess.
Right.
That they can do with all these documents being out there saying, hey, we need time to look at this.
Right. But at least that was a concern that crossed
Oh, yeah, because I think he's trying to, I mean,
he wants it to go as easily as possible because he's a coward. But I think this is why Trump chose him. Trump likes fighting. Like, that is his only way of existing, is being in a fight.
It's that
he will start a fight.
Or
right,
because Raj Shah was on NBC this morning and they asked, hey, we have a report that you guys did a deal with Justice Kennedy for his resignation, that you would appoint the his successor. And he and Judge Kennedy specific Justice Kennedy specifically said Brett Kavanaugh. And that was part of the deal for him to resign, is I will resign if you put Brett Kavanaugh in my spot. And Raj Shah did not deny this.
Yeah,
he just said, oh, I can't comment and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I think that was just their deal.
Right. Yeah.
It was just like, okay, fam, you'll get the fuck out.
Right.
But what is it going to take?
Right.
Like, I want you to, like, you're 81 years old.
Right.
It's not going to look crazy if you retire now. And then I guess that was like the one bargaining chip that he had, was like, okay, well, if I step down, at least I know Brett Kavanaugh. He clerked for me.
Right.
I would want him there.
Yeah.
But that's like, again, that's almost like what Justice Kennedy having like a two lifetimes worth of power on that bench, his own, and then he's like, and I will also.
Is that legal? I mean, I guess he can technically say like who he would pick. He could say that in the media, but
yeah,
like,
I mean, it's not like there's like on paper. It's like, okay, you sign here, and this is the agreement that we've drafted up that says we will do this.
There's also the fact that he was involved in the Starr report, and then 10 years later came out and was like, but I don't think any president should have to face a special prosecutor during their presidency.
What?
So, and a lot of people point to this idea that he believes that a sitting president should not have to be distracted by a criminal investigation or prosecution while they're in office.
Right.
And also, when he was working on the Ken Starr thing, he was very much talking about impeachment. And I think there people are sort of conflating the two things to a certain extent. Yes, I think he clearly does believe impeachment is a process that the Congress can see through, and that's completely their prerogative to go through impeachment. But he also believes that he still does have this belief that, you know, the indictment and trial of a sitting president would cripple the federal government, is his quote.
Right.
Now, if you take that into context, that if, let's say, someone brings, you know, they sue over this Mueller investigation, yes, he would probably, I mean, based on what he's saying, he would probably be all for saying, yeah, this investigation is a distraction.
Right.
Now, I don't know how that plays out, whether that means, because he also has said, once a president is out of office, you could sue him for whatever the fuck you want.
And I mean, I guess it's not clear that what Mueller's doing right now, the Mueller investigation as it stands, would violate, you know, what he's against, because he's just saying you shouldn't be able to indict or subpoena a sitting president because that's too much of a distraction. But I mean, that it just lines up in a lot of ways with the Republican argument that's like, you know, this is all a big distraction and we should get rid of it. So it just, the fact that he has come down with similar talking points to the Republican objections to the Mueller investigation, it makes sense to me that he is the one that Trump ultimately went with.
Yeah, well, and also because this is uncharted territory. It's like an actual unsettled legal question about like whether a president can be indicted or whatever. And if it gets to that point, that is something that the Supreme Court will have to hear. And then now you have this guy there being like, nah, I don't fuck with that. So that's really,
right.
That's why it's like, well, look, yeah, then you chose the best dude.
And he said he doesn't like it because it can become too easily politicized because the scope of the investigation starts
to
wander.
And if you believe that while you're working with George Bush, you know.
What's going on there?
But again, you know, regardless of how people want to cut it up or whatever and look at it, this is clearly a person who isn't here to side with disenfranchised people or working people.
Right.
Or, you know, holding employers to any sort of, you know, real standard.
Real standard, yeah.
So what you're saying is more bad news is what we've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, cool. God, we can only dream, right, that we have a time machine to go back.
We can't go too far back,
and get
though.
These children to vote. Anyway.
Let's talk about wrestling coaches, you guys. The Ohio State University had a wrestling team doctor who was molesting the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And their wrestling coach at that time is now a sitting Republican congressperson named Jim Jordan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's claiming Joe Paterno on this. He's claiming, yo, I didn't know anything. I didn't see anything. How was I supposed to know? And it's just...
And there have been numerous wrestlers coming forward with saying, I told him to his face one time I asked him to come with me to confront the doctor. There are many moments where these people are vividly describing how they talked about it or how one time Jim Jordan yelled because apparently like the locker room just became like this like weird place for people to like check out the wrestlers like showering and stuff or being in the sauna. And one person had a story about how Jim Jordan like chased some of these people out. Huh. So, like, why would he do that if he didn't know that there was some bad stuff going on? So,
I mean, okay, so it's weird, first of all, because Dennis Hastert, who was Speaker of the House, Republican Speaker of the House for a long time, turned out to be a child molester. He was a sexual predator who preyed on, when he was a wrestling coach, he molested, you know, young wrestlers who he coached. So that's just a weird overlap that the Republicans apparently have a thing for this type of profession. Mm-hmm. And it's also the Chapo Trap House podcast yesterday was talking about how weird it is that there are so many sexual predators in power in the Republican Party. Like now Bill Shine. So Bill Shine's whole role at Fox News was suppressing sexual assault claims against Bill O'Reilly and against
Roger Ailes.
Now he is in the White House. Alan Dershowitz, the dude who has like become the guy who like is defending Trump's rights on Fox News, like we talked about earlier last week, was on the flight logs for that Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein. So was Trump, and also so was Clinton. And they were making the point that like all of these different people who are in this like power structure all have skeletons in their closet, so they like can't really call each other on their shit,
right?
Because you know, so both Clinton,
because everyone's a
and
kettle
Trump,
and a pot,
yeah,
and black.
Exactly. Both Clinton and Trump had the same dark secret in their past.
These weird power, you know, because it's all tied to power. This type of sexual abuse, not even like about, yeah. It seems like we get all these people in high positions in the GOP that have demons to work out. And so they have these strange, I don't know, these strange circles of creepy behavior that they have to shield each other from.
And also there's no accountability because Jim Jordan and the GOP, they've done, I mean, all kinds of mental gymnastics to try and like get around it. Like Perkins, Coyle, however you pronounce that law firm's name, that is representing some of the wrestlers. Okay, yes, they represented the same company who put the Steele dossier together or the Clintons. So people on the right have taken to that to be like, well, this is a deep state.
Right.
The deep state is trying to frame him on some molester shit that never happened, blah, blah, blah. And they're using, like, just because this law firm, now keep in mind, they are one of the biggest law firms around, and they've represented companies like Google or Nike or these other places.
Yeah, they're cherry picking that case to serve their narrative.
I'm sorry. It could be that a gigantic law firm would have more than two clients ever.
Right.
So again, there's all this weird distraction around it. And then yesterday on The Hill, there was like this live cast where there was this younger writer for The Federalist named Bree Payton. And her take on this was, you know, now it's 28. This is a quote from this live cast. She said, now it's 2018. The Me Too movement has empowered a lot of victims of sexual assault to feel comfortable going forward and naming their accusers and going public. And that's a really good thing that we should all applaud.
But
she's like, but I think it's also important not to hold people 20 years ago to the standards of today. Right. I think we have to look at these things in context. There's a lot of unanswered questions about this. There's a lot of details that will still remain unanswered about Jim Jordan, what exactly he did and what exactly he didn't know. So I think there's a lot of information that we don't have and a lot of pieces of the puzzle that we don't have.
Because, like, remember 20 years ago how it was cool to cover up for child molestation?
Yeah, right.
Remember and, how, like, that's changed with these wacky
We
new...
didn't know it was bad.
On Wonkette, they did a little sleuthing. They go on her LinkedIn page. She graduated high school in 2010.
Okay.
So, m'lady, 20 years ago, you were about 5 years old.
Right.
And you remember, yeah, you remember back
Let's
then.
Let's remember.
Like, Let's so, all think back.
Well, and, she probably associates, like, 20 years ago with, like, caveman times. So, yeah. Like, 20 years right. ago, people were just banging each other on the head and dragging them around with their hair. So, I mean, you know.
It's a tired fucking defense.
It's
useless. I mean, just
it also ignores the fact. I hate people that are like, "Well, that was a long time ago, and things have changed." Blah blah. Well, there are still good people that lived back then too. Like,
yeah.
there are still people walking around right now who are not about to be pulled up on some like
right.
Me Too type shit
yeah.
because they weren't doing anything wrong back then. We
right.
still have, you know, you have a lot of like comedians and comic heroes that people want to come out of the woodwork to defend because
yeah.
they're like, "Well, it was a long time. It was a different time."
And
it's like, well, during that different time, there were still people not doing this because they
yeah,
knew
right,
better.
Right.
And they were outraged about the people who were doing it.
Right.
You know?
And tried to do something about
right.
it.
It was
and,
just-
You know,
culture wasn't
and
ready.
The GOP still does the same shitty thing about going after the victims, attacking them. Well, this guy was in jail or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, there are many statistics that show people who go through sexual abuse, they have a higher rate of committing crimes later on in life.
Yeah.
There's just like, they just do a lot of dumb, like, it's just have some accountability at some point. You know,
right.
like mm-hmm. how many more people will it take for them to be like, hi, I was there. I told him he knew.
Right.
And this man is just denying.
I feel like a lot of times people like that don't want to be the one. Like, I bet a lot of people knew. Like, a lot of coaches, a lot of people at the school probably knew. And he's like, well, I'm not going to be the one. I tried to help these guys. You know, like, I feel
right,
like they
right.
rationalize in a way that's like,
right.
like your story about how he chased them out of,
right.
you know, I chased the perverts out of here from watching them. So, like, he's like, I'm not going to be the one to take the fall when all of us were complicit in this.
Right.
But. You gotta.
Yeah.
You gotta, man.
Or then just come out and take the whole fucking thing down with you.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Name
don't,
names.
You don't have to be the sucker like that. You can be like, let me pull out some receipts then, too, because I'm not going to be the only person out here acting like this was all on me.
Right.
Or whatever. Because clearly it takes a network of enablers for this kind of pervasive abuse to happen.
Yeah, the same shit is happening in Michigan State University.
Right. And look at the gymnastics team.
Right. Yeah, same doctor as the Michigan State thing. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And so, guys, Justin Bieber is engaged. Apparently, Bieber
Thank
has.
God. Thank
I know,
God. You
right?
know. I'm
Good
just
pivot,
so happy
Jack.
For him.
Good
we're
pivot.
All, we're all pointing to the sky.
Oh,
pointing to,
won't he
I'm,
do it?
I'm pointing heavens. Down to Satan.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all him.
So, Ariana Grande's manager, Scooter Braun, and also he's the guy who kind of built Justin Bieber's career. And so, I guess we have to assume. That he saw the big hit that she got on social media from getting engaged to Pete Davidson and was like, yo, this could be good for your career.
This could
yeah.
be a cool thing to do.
But yeah, so all these kids are getting engaged. This seems to be just a trend with
what,
young
people. Finding love?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, like,
I don't know
I
what's going
like,
on with these kids.
I feel like I know more people who get engaged for long periods of time but don't end up getting married or
mm-hmm.
it takes them a while to get married before.
Well, because essentially nothing has to change, right? So
right.
this is like
yeah.
a brilliant PR move because you could just be like, "You're sure, Justin, you're rich, so fine, buy her a ring,
right.
take a bunch of pictures, do your normal rich people shit, like be on boats and run around,
mm-hmm.
make your mm-hmm. music, people will tune in and salivate over it like something is happening. Then you don't actually have to get married.
Right.
Yeah.
And you still got the huge bump.
It, yeah.
And then she gets a huge bump, too.
And because it evokes marriage and
yeah.
wedding. So all you can be like, look at me with the ring. And everyone
right?
in their mind already sees the wedding. And you're like, oh, it's a done deal.
Yep.
Right.
And you win. I don't like the optics of it are great. Actually, this got me thinking.
Yeah, the more I talk about it, I'm like, this. I'm already married, but like, could I stage an engagement just to like boost my star meter?
Oh yes, yes. Cool. That should be the new star. Like, does like the new agent PR thing that they do? Like, okay, is it cool? Should our clients just get fake engaged real quick?
Just for
get the metrics up a little bit. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cute though, because Hailey Baldwin, like, you can actually track her, like, across social media, her like creeping on Bieber and being like, oh my God, relationship goals about Justin Bieber and his ex-girlfriend, and, you know, just being like, Justin Bieber's a huge celebrity and like I have like a celebrity crush on him, to like now being engaged to him. So that's kind of cute.
Is that cute or calculated?
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's probably knew that she would be at like part. It's not like she's some girl from the Midwest who was just like, I have a poster of Justin Bieber on my wall. And...
Wait, isn't she Stephen Baldwin's daughter?
Yeah. She is Stephen Baldwin's
is
daughter.
Stephen
the
Baldwin
super Christian,
the
one.
Super religious
yeah,
one.
That's
right?
Why
right.
That's why they found each other in Christ.
And right.
Good for them. I hope that they're chill.
Real?
Yeah.
You hope it's real.
I hope it's real. Exactly. I mean, because let me tell you.
I think it's a stunt.
What do you think happens? Because Hailey Baldwin has the most to lose emotionally, right. I feel like, because she's built Justin Bieber up in her mind.
Sure.
He's become like this nebulous fantasy person. And now she's seeing this dude in the flesh and he's like all stringy and he's like, yeah, okay, it's Bieber now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I hope he doesn't let her down. That's all I hope.
How many N-words a day do you think he says? Average, median. Just like in the privacy of his own, when the cameras aren't rolling. How many? I think three maybe.
Uh-huh.
Depends on if Gold Digger by Kanye West is playing.
Right. Oh, he sings all of them.
Oh, he sings.
If he's
he sings all of them. He's singing all of them.
For sure.
Yes.
So I wonder how many, Haley, you have to ask yourself, what's your threshold?
Yeah.
How many can you hear?
Molly Lambert, she was tweeting, I think yesterday, she's like, Haley Baldwin's playing the long game. Like, about this whole thing. Because, yeah, in a way, like, if you've been creeping from the sidelines and now a coach puts you in, cool.
I think she has the least to lose because, I mean, yeah, this is going to give her a bump regardless. You know, she's become a household name overnight.
But I think, like, I really believe that she probably was obsessing over Justin Bieber years ago.
I agree, too. But
and
I'm
like,
just saying, good for her.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
hopping on the Bieber train, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, if I'm going to be, like, my most excited and optimistic about this, I'm going to believe that she is just a smart-ass businesswoman hustler,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and that this is all
playing
a ruse, but
numbers.
That she has started this from the beginning. She was planting those seeds on social media. This is Machiavellian, yeah. and I'm so impressed with you, Haley. Congratulations.
I like this version. Yes, I'm gonna hop on that one.
Okay,
that
cool.
she planned it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Now to the real hot TMZ gossip.
I have a question.
Yes.
Since Justin Bieber has gone, he's fully found his faith. Uh-huh. Has his music? Has he put out like a Jesus album?
No.
He hasn't, right?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay, so I wonder what his next album is going to be like.
Dude, he's had like Jesus tattooed all the way down his leg for a while.
What do you mean?
He has like a big Jesus tattoo
like
on his calf.
The man's face?
I think it's his whole body, like doing the.
Is it black Jesus?
How white? I know. I was like, how white is that?
I'm
Jesus?
Like, which one is it?
This up.
Is it the one that's in my grandfather's church with dreadlocks?
I doubt it.
Justin Bieber Jesus tattoo.
How fast can we go?
Oh, yeah. I think he got the face.
Oh, it is the face.
He got that
it's that
tired
painting
where it looks like he's rolling his eyes at God. He's like, really, you want to let me die on this cross?
Uh-huh.
Wait, can I see it? Oh, yeah, the eye roll one.
Yeah.
Ugh. Come on. You got white Jesus looking over it tattooed on your...
I mean, Joe, just hit,
over it.
Do the respectable one. Hit us with the Bible verse. You know what I mean? That really lets me know where your faith is at.
Mm-hmm.
You got that Philippians 3:14 tattoo. You know what I mean?
But enough of these has-been celebrities, Miles. It's time to talk about the man that TMZ and all the teens are talking about and wanting to know what he's up to, Mr. Ty Cobb.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Former Trump lawyer.
Okay, Ty Cobb, if you don't remember, he's the dude with the crazy curly Q mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He was spotted Saturday in Washington, D.C., in some club in Petworth, that neighborhood in D.C., for a punk band called Copstabber. Okay? Now, he just stumbled into this punk show.
Just shit-faced.
Yeah, and they're self-described as a scum punk band. And they have songs such as Dick Farmer, I Hope You Get AIDS, and Fuck School, Stay in Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where Ty Cobb, former White House counsel, is at. And the photos are amazing. The man is off his face. He's, like, playing air guitar.
Ugh.
He is, like... I mean, look yeah. this air guitar one. It. Is it? There's another one where he's just like sitting down, like clearly doing that look where you're hot and drunk, and you're yep. kind of like, yo, where am I at?
I love the people that find a nice booth at a punk show.
Yeah, and apparently they said he was really feeling one song called "I Like Cocaine." Uh-huh. So, you know, he's really out here living his best life. He really is.
It says that they came from a wedding and yeah. they like stumbled in. I mean, I feel like we've all been there, right? Like you're at a wedding, some strange city you're not normally in. Well, I guess he wasn't in a strange city, but yeah. you're at right. a wedding and you're just like, what's nearby so we can keep drinking and feel like we'll never die?
Right.
So you go into a place you wouldn't normally go. You're dressed wrong for
so
it.
So wrong.
But you're drunk and you're just like, we're here together in our business casual. We right. will go nuts and feel normal. It just doesn't so happen that you're usually Ty Cobb when you're doing that.
Right.
Normally you're like us. So I feel like the juxtaposition of the way he looks versus the way he feels in this yeah. is so delicious.
I mean, I think honestly leaving the Trump administration was probably a huge load off his shoulders because he mm-hmm. was trying to be a lawyer about it. He's like, you know, you can't really be so like adversarial with Robert Mueller. Like this mm-hmm. is a legal proceeding still. And he didn't like that strategy. So he peaced out or he just saw, you know, the writing's on the wall. But there's something about this photo of him with his eyes closed doing air guitar
yeah.
that just, to me, is freedom.
Yes, yeah. It is.
But other than that, I mean, yeah, I can't believe what that must have been like for the family members that are with him, where he's just like, what's going on down here?
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, dad, no. It's like
love scum punk.
It's like, yeah, this dude came out with a...
They're like, there's a wine bar right down here. I hear right. Tony Bennett. Nah. Like, let's just go in there. No.
I like rock and roller.
Give me the BPMs.
Yeah. And he got it on.
He got it. Everyone check out Copstabber. I don't know them, but I'm just happy this little local band is
hell yeah.
It almost seems like a joke.
So much of the
photos of him there, because he is living.
Yeah. There's one picture where he's just like very calmly pointing at the camera yeah. that's yeah. taking a picture of him.
Like, what's up?
What's
like,
up?
Hey.
Yeah.
It's your boy.
It's your boy, TC.
God.
And everyone just has red sweat face. These photos are in black and white, but everyone's face is just like red sweat.
Yeah,
sure.
Shiny.
His hair's a little like relaxed down to his shoulders thing going on.
I'm surprised but that mustache is still curled
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you can't fuck with that mustache.
At this point, it's probably just petrified wood.
And finally, guys, we want to talk some movies. Do we have time to talk movies?
Yeah, you. It seems like you guys have some
time for
movies
movie
you're loving.
Beat.
Movie beat.
So I watched a movie over the weekend on Netflix. So that's big for me.
Wow.
Yeah, we're sleep training. We got the 4-month-old down sleeping, so we get to watch movies now. I watched a little film called Set It Up on Netflix. Very
Who's
competent
that?
Rom-com. Oh, you know, Pete Davidson. So this is what's interesting, is Pete Davidson is the thumbnail on Netflix, and it's like trending, and it's been this big success story. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, Pete Davidson's really blowing up. And then you watch it, and he's just like the fun friend who's in it for like 3 scenes.
Yeah.
But so you can tell he is blowing up because Netflix is...
Changed the thumbnail to
yeah,
be
they changed the thumbnail.
Tertiary
They're
character.
Very smart. There's a great profile of like what the inside of Netflix functions like, and it's all data-driven, but then they keep being like, we're not about the data, we're about the art.
Yeah.
But
it's
like
why are you fucking with the thumbnail for my photo?
Right,
like, for
exactly.
the film then, yeah.
But yeah, it's just a very competent rom-com that, you know, it has someone named Zoe Deutsch.
My girl Zoe Deutsch. I'm so hip and young. I know her.
She's wonderful. So is the male star who I'd never seen in anything.
Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell.
Fave. I've
yeah.
got several posters.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Either
on my
of those
dorm
people.
Room.
Yeah, no, it made me feel very old because, you know, they're going to be very famous. They're both very, you know, charming and have a lot of charisma
uh-huh.
and mm-hmm. they I had never seen either of them or knew that they existed
the
at
only
all.
Names I know are Lucy Liu, Tay Diggs and Titus Burgess
yeah. yep Do you think that he was the thumbnail on that? Because, like, okay, I feel like we've all been binging TV and, like, you know, we're in a golden age of television. I'm so sorry I said that. I have to say it once a week per my contract. But don't you feel like we watch so much long-form entertainment now that, like, we're used to a supporting role, meaning, like, I see you in 6 episodes of this 10-episode
right.
arc. So now when we watch movies, we kind of forget that, like, movies are 10 minutes long in comparison.
Right.
So if you're in it for 90 seconds as, like, the friend, that means you're, like, a major role.
Yeah.
I watch movies sometimes and I'm like, it's over and that person was in it just to say those 2 lines and
right,
like run
right.
around.
Yeah.
That's a weird format.
Yeah, I bet it's just a thing where they have it automatically set up where, you know, a thousand different versions of thumbnails went out, and this is the one that just got clicked on the most, mm-hmm. and so that just becomes the thumbnail. And I wonder how much of it is just that Pete Davidson is very popular right now because he's engaged to Ariana Grande.
Oh, that's 100% what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Is everyone who works at Netflix now just like a sentient algorithm?
Yes.
It's a sentient piece of avocado toast that they just hook up. But you said the movie was good?
Yeah, it's a very competent romantic comedy.
What do you mean by competent? Is it problematic?
No, I didn't think it was that problematic. I don't remember any moments where I was like, oh, Jesus. And it was good. Directed by a woman, which is a novel way to make romantic comedies.
And
I thought it was solid.
So you're giving it the Jack O'Brien.
Solid.
Check it out.
Yeah. Stand. Not a thumb up, but like a solid fist.
Okay. fist bump.
Hey, nice Dap job, guys.
Yeah, I saw Sorry to Bother You.
How is it?
It's so good. I don't think it's wide yet. It's in like big cities now, but I saw a pre-screening.
Ooh.
It was very fancy. I wish I'd seen it in the regular theater.
Tell
so
people about
back.
The film.
Oh,
like what it's about.
Yeah, so it is Lakeith Stanfield and Armie Hammer's in it, directed by Boots Riley, and it is about, there's so many spoilers that it's hard to talk about. So it's about telemarketing and the black experience.
Okay.
Ooh, interesting.
Trying to work in sales, and it's about climbing the corporate ladder. It's a very anti-capitalist film. It has strong themes and undertones. There's a lot of magical realism, which I've been really missing in movies. Like, very, you know, kind of like, I feel like other countries do that really well. Like, Spanish language films do a lot of magical realism. Yeah. And like, in the U.S., we haven't had a ton of that. It's, of course, being compared a lot to Get Out, which I just have to say to tell you what flavor of movie it is, but it's standalone, very distinct, and a wild film.
Is it just compared to Get Out because Lakeith Stanfield is in it?
No, there's elements of like black people in servitude to white people for their qualities, but not necessarily for their personhood.
Got it.
Is maybe the most diplomatic way I could say that. Tessa Thompson's in it. Visually, it's like a really stunning film. It was just so surprising. There were so many like twists and turns and legitimately very funny. Boots Riley is a fantastic director. So I was
first time director, right?
That. I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a rapper, and look at that.
Look at that,
look
rappers!
At
you can
that.
Be a. Don't let Kanye hear this, but you can be a director. Rappers.
It's too late,
Tony. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you on social media? And also, is there a tweet that you've been enjoying lately?
Sure. Let me just, pause. I just saw it and I forgot who it was and I want to give them proper credit.
Hey, in that time that you're looking that up, I have another correction. I said Scarlett Johansson is playing a trans woman. She's playing a trans man in our segment about how that is problematic. So my bad, you guys.
Jess Dweck, comedian writer, tweeted, she screen capped a picture of Ben Shapiro making a real cool joke. Ben Shapiro's joke is, Merrick Garland is going to burst into the room, grab the mic, and shout, I'm going to let you finish, but I was the greatest nominee of all time.
Ugh.
And Jess just wrote, why aren't there more conservative comedians? I like that
so
a lot.
So good.
Because you've been hearing that a lot.
Classic stuff, Ben.
But you can find me at Trondi Newman on all the things. You can find my website, TrondiNewsom.com, for info about my shows. I have a band. I also have a new project on Stitcher Premium called The Supergroup, which is a combination of musicians and comedians writing original songs with me in a week, and then we debut it at the end. So, yeah.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Yo's is racist.
Oh, yes, of course. Ooh, everybody see, now Yo is getting the shaft because I'm, like, trying to promote my other shit.
No.
Andrew's going to be mad.
No.
Sorry,
our fans will already love you from Yo's is racist. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
Do you have a tweet that you'd like to share with our fans, our listeners?
Oh, yeah. This is actually kind of going along with what we were talking about earlier. This is from Cullen Crawford, who just said, Elon Musk, I promise no one will beat you to the punch if you try to help the people of Flint, Michigan.
Oh,
there you go.
That's the one I saw.
That's the one. Yep, I found it.
Cullen's a good follow. You should follow
him. Yeah, good follow.
My tweet of the day was shared with me by super producer Anna Hosnia yesterday. It is from
Brace yourselves.
BNW on Twitter, and she said, "Your poor name is your mother's first name and your mother's last name because your mom is a whore." I think that's very funny. Well done. You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Okay, today's song is going to be Devils by Sir. Off the album November. This is just again, you know how I get down. It's all about beats. It's all about being groovers. I know yesterday a lot of you guys were really into that Carly Simon, now the Chic produced track. But today, bring it back to some hip hop or beat life.
Beat produced life.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming out of musical shock attack. And team come down, turn it back. Because me sweeter than the water in a coconut. Me nicer than the lollipop. But watch a man, the eye on the mountain and the cool of the breeze.
Tell me who that nigga if it ain't me. If it ain't a party, then it's finna be. Never had a problem that I couldn't solve. It must be official if I get involved. Quarter pound of fire burning daily. Harder to remember, getting harder to remember. I've been through enough to drive me crazy. I don't think my mama's gonna save me. Maybe I'm not flying, but I'm floating. If we're not headed to the top, where we going? 2 miles an hour, can you picture me rolling? Cause life is so much better when you live in slow motion. But I'm never late. Blazing like the player that you wanna be. Flavor like your baby mama cup of tea. You see the company I'm keeping now. Feeling like I'm dreaming, I keep feeling like I'm dreaming. Don't come around if you don't be around. I've been the man, you believe me now. Baby, I'm not flying, but I'm floating. If we're not headed to the top, where we going? 2 miles an hour, can you picture me rolling? Cause life is so much better when you live in slow motion.
Keep the evil away. Cause I have been